The following is a lecture entitled Worthwhile Goals for 2017, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 14th, 2017, in Toronto, Canada.
We make it complicated because we're so sophisticated with our college degrees, you know, and our smartphones or whatever. We're so sophisticated nowadays. We don't know how to take just like an Indian villager in the old days, you know. They go deep into chanting. We have a hard time with our modern-day world. So many people come to the temple, you know, that they can't fully get into the spirit of it. You can see in the kirtans sometimes. They're chanting, but their minds are flying over somewhere else, you know what I mean? So we have to learn how to dive deeply into the sound vibration, because actually that sound is Krishna himself, Nam Avatar. Just imagine if you could go back in some kind of a time machine 5,000 years ago and actually meet Krishna, you know, in Vrindavan, or wouldn't that be something? Go back in a time machine 5,000 years ago and be there with Krishna and his Leela going on, and meet him and Radharani and the gopis. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Well, you can actually, chanting Hare Krishna is the same thing. It depends on how deeply you go into the name, but actually Krishna himself is there. Hare is Radharani, Mother Hara, that's Srimati Radharani. And in the vocative form, just like we say there is Radha, when we address her we say Radhe. It's the vocative form in the Sanskrit grammar, you see. So Mother Hara or Radha is addressed Hare or Radhe. Hare Krishna. We're calling out to our mother Radharani and our father Krishna. Let's see. So I understand y'all wanted to have really good 2017, is that true? Anybody want to have really good worthwhile goals for the 2017? All right. Well, I propose that we take over the world this year. You ready for a world takeover? Why don't we work together and take over the world for Prabhupada? That's what I really propose. And it's not based on my whims. I am basing this on the teachings of Prabhupada. So we'll go to the verse. It's really one of the absolutely best verses in all the Bhagavatam. 5.18.9 Bhagavatam. Svashtyastu vishvashakala prasidatam dayanta batani shivam matodaya manascha badram bhajatam madoksha jaya veshutan no matarapya haitiki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. This is a prayer for every single living entity throughout the whole universe. This prayer, one is praying for the deliverance of all living entities throughout the entire universe. That's got to be a powerful prayer, you see. So, you want to get in the mood of the ecstatic mood, which is called the mood of a preacher, you see. One thing is just cultivating Krishna consciousness for your own liberation. That's good. But if you can actually think about the deliverance of all living entities throughout the material existence, that's a higher platform of Krishna consciousness. And how do you get there? This prayer will take you there. It's simple. You just pray for you can recite this prayer, 5.18. I suggest that all you should memorize this prayer. This is one of your goals for 2017. Memorize this prayer and chant it often. Praying for the deliverance of all living entities from this material existence. And until you got it memorized, there's something you already know. I think you all know the Nrsingha prayers from the temple. Bahir Nasingha, you're Tavakara, you know, Tavakara Kamala, yeah. Namaste Narasingaya. We're all familiar with that. We already know that one. Well, you may be interested how Prabhupada explains that prayer here in this purport. What it actually means. It's four simple words. In that one, the part we're focusing on is Bahirna Singo Hridayena Singo. What does it literally mean? It means Nishinga without or externally and Nishinga within. But what does that actually mean? And if you expand it out, you see that's in a sutra like form. Bahirna Singo Hridayena Singo. What does it actually mean? Prabhupada explains what it actually means. He says, therefore, I'll read the whole paragraph. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama nirmatsara anom. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala prasidatam. May all envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manascha badrang bhajata madoksha jay. Therefore, we pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nasingho Hridaye Nasingha. Quote, let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the court of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. That's Hridaye Nasingha. And then he says, let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Wow, that's a big one. Do you realize you're praying that every day in the Nishinga, when we sing the Nishinga prayer? You're actually praying that you can cleanse your heart completely of all the dirt and that you become empowered to bring peace to the entire world. That's the meaning of Bahir Nasingha. May the whole world become Krishna conscious. May I become fully filled with Krishna consciousness. And may now the whole world become completely filled with Krishna consciousness. Therefore, there you have your worthwhile goals for 2017. Bahir Nasingha, Hridaye Nasingha. You should completely appear, you should pray. Now, that's spiritually. Now, materially, that's okay too. Those are secondary goals. You know, maybe you're working on a degree, you want to graduate, or you want to get a job, or you want to get married, or, you know, whatever it may be. Those are okay too. But those are secondary. Always remember your material goals, they are natural because we have to maintain body and soul together. As long as you have a material body, you're supposed to take care of it. And if you get married, you got to take care of your wife's body, your kid's body, etc. So that's, you're allotted to do that. It's part of your quota as a human being. You have that quota also. But always remember that is secondary. If you make those material things primary, you're screwed up. Your priorities, you're out. Just like we saw a store over here called Balance, when fitness meets wellness or something like that. So you're out of balance. If you prioritize material things over the spiritual things, you're out of balance. And I don't care how successful you are materially, you will never, ever be satisfied. Mark my words, you won't be. Not possible. You understand? But if you can prioritize spiritual things over material things, you're going to be in good shape. Because materially, you're going to get your karma. You don't have that much ability to change the material situation. Your karma is going to come. You see. But spiritually, you have great power to make a big difference. And that's the most important thing. You can actually purify your heart of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. You can actually become an empowered representative of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing peace to the world by telling people about Krishna. You see, the advantage of taking up the mood of a preacher is very simple. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. If you try to get Krishna without giving Krishna, it's very difficult. Because Krishna is in the mood of wanting to see that Krishna consciousness is spread to all living beings. You see, that's what he wants. So you take up that mood of distributing Krishna consciousness, then it's very easy for you to have it yourself. Krishna awards bhakti very easily to those who dedicate themselves to propagating it. So it's one of those insider secrets. It's like somebody has an insider secret about the stock market, they can make a big killing in investments, you see. So this is an even more powerful insider secret. But it's all wrapped up in those four words. Bahir Nisinga, Hridaya Nisinga. You just have to remember what it means when you sing it at the temple or wherever you're doing. What are you actually praying for? If you actually say, okay, I'm going to get into this mood. I'm going to pray that my heart become completely clean, and I'm going to pray that I can spread Krishna consciousness to the whole world. You see, by my ideal example, by my thoughts, my words, my deeds. It really begins with thoughts. What kind of things you got going up there? You see. Are you thinking about Krishna, or are you just thinking about material advancement? You have to prioritize Krishna, because this material advancement, it comes and it goes. But Krishna never goes. He always did. This whole material universe we're sitting in right now, it's going to be withdrawn by Mahavishnu when he inhales. The whole thing will be vaporized, finished. You know that? This whole universe is going to be vaporized as soon as Mahavishnu inhales. It's not that big of a deal. You know. 155 trillion years ago, Mahavishnu exhaled, and this is what came out. Another 155 trillion years, he's going to inhale, and I'll be finished. And those who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they will not be affected by this. Won't be affected by them. They're situated beyond the exhalations and inhalations of Mahavishnu. They become what is called Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated beings. Such liberated beings actually can travel, just like Narada Muni, they can travel anywhere without having to buy a ticket on Canadian Airlines. It will, Mahavishnu. Narada Muni can travel where he wants to go. Actually, they asked Prabhupada, and he arrived in Dallas. They had an old airport in those days called Love Field. It's still there. They use it for some of the small regional carriers, Love Field. It's close to downtown. So Prabhupada, there was a press interview, and Prabhupada got off the airplane. He said, besides the airplane, you can travel by mantra. There's machine, that's airplane, machine. There's also, you can travel by mantra, you can also travel by pigeons. There's a certain type of pigeons that can carry you through outer space. So they asked, well, Swamiji, why have you come by airplane then? He said, to be one with you, I've come by airplane, probably. So, we can utilize, even though this material energy is just a temporary manifestation of Mahavishnu's exhalation, that doesn't mean we but then we can't use it. It's all Krishna's energy. Even the spiritual world is Krishna's energy. The whole thing is Krishna's energy. And you are also Krishna's energy. We're all Krishna's energy. So by utilizing everything in the service of Krishna, then it becomes as good as the spiritual world, just as I mentioned in the beginning. If wherever you are, if you'll absorb yourself in Krishna Katha, then that place becomes a spiritual world, because the spiritual world means where Krishna is remembered, served, and glorified at every minute. That's the spiritual world. So you can make this world the spiritual world right here. Your own apartment can be the spiritual world. You see? So one simply has to learn from a bona fide spiritual master, as I had the opportunity to learn from Srila Prabhupada. You see, you have to take the opportunity to learn the secrets of how to actually connect with Krishna at every minute, with your every thought, your every word, and your every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. It's mystical, actually. It's a mystical process. Of reconnecting yourself with the source of your existence. Just like you may have a very nice lamp, but if it's not plugged in, it has no value. So, we're like an electric lamp. If we're plugged in, we become illuminated. If we're disconnected from the powerhouse, then we're just a useless, dark thing, you see. So the whole material society, they're disconnected. Therefore, people actually dark, their faces, their whole aura is like dark auras. You see? They're not illuminated, you understand? But if you connect with Krishna, you become illuminated with divine, with divinity, actually. You regain your original divine nature when you reconnect with Krishna. And to connect with Krishna is very simple. You just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You think about Krishna, you talk about Krishna, you serve Krishna. So I was asked to give a talk about, you know, worthwhile goals for 2017. And besides Bahirna Singha, Hridayana Singha, I can't really recommend anything else except, you know, take over Toronto as soon as possible with Krishna consciousness. And localize it a little bit, you know. You become fixed up in Krishna consciousness yourself. Chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, take shelter of a bona fide guru, get initiated by the bona fide guru. You know, these are the details. But the basic principle is you become fixed up in Krishna consciousness and see how you can live your life in such a way to have the maximum impact for spreading it to the world, the ignorant people of the world. That's the essence of the advice. But then specifically you have to see, well, maybe you're only chanting 4 rounds, so now you should go to 16. Or maybe you're chanting 16, so you should go to taking shelter. Or maybe you're taking shelter, now you should get initiated. You know, depends on each person has what they can do to move closer to that goal. But the best thing is to go all the way. Make this year, I'll become initiated devotee, fully obedient to the bona fide spiritual master. That's the ideal. When I joined 16 rounds the first day, I mean, sometimes in ISKCON they say, well, I'll chant 4 rounds for a couple of years, and then a couple more years I'll go to 8 rounds, and then maybe I'll really stick my neck out and go to 12. After a couple more years, I go to 16. I didn't mess around with all that stuff. 16 rounds the first day. And when I joined, we didn't have any japa beads from India. No one had been to India yet, except for Prabhupada and a few devotees. We didn't have any temples in India established much. So when I joined, to get japa beads, you had to go into a Tandy Leather Company and buy some beads and string your own. That's how you got japa beads in the old days. I went and bought some green wooden beads. I made my first, I don't know where they are now, but they're long gone. I got some beads chanted on my Prabhupada from, finally, at initiation. But yeah, I went down, a bunch of us got in the car And we drove over to Tandy Lever and got some beads. And I chanted 16 the first day and never watched that mess around, you know. If something is good, go for it. Right away, why postpone that which is most beneficial, that which is most auspicious? Even Ravana gave that advice. If something is auspicious, do it immediately. If something is inauspicious, keep postponing it. You see, so why postpone your becoming a sold-out devotee of Krishna? Why you want to postpone it? You think it's something inauspicious? Huh? Don't postpone it. Make your appointment to meet your maker this year. This year, I'm going to become a fixed-up devotee. Chanting 16 rounds, following the principles, and you know, getting initiated or getting ready for being initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. That's, what can I say? There's nothing else really worthwhile except for that. So maybe there's some questions you all might have. Maybe it sounds a little, I don't know where you're at spiritually. It's the first time I've come here. Maybe I'm blowing you away. I don't know. Too heavy. What do you think? Am I being too heavy? Okay. It's my duty to be heavy. And Papa told me to become a guru. So a guru means heavy. So I'm supposed to be heavy. That's my duty. Pound on you a little bit. It's my duty to pound on you a little bit. Boom, 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 boom. It's my duty, so please don't mind. I'm just doing my duty. So there's some... It's a good thing here. They're passing out some... I can always do better at having the questions written down. A little deafness problem. Can't always hear that great, that well, so... So, I really recommend that verse. Fantastic verse. If you want to memorize a verse, that's a great one to memorize. Svastayastu vishvasya kala vrsidatam. Prabhupada continues. This is a prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada further talks about it here. He says, Prahlad Maharaj requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. See, he was including Hiranyakashipu in this prayer. May all envious persons be pacified. He was thinking about Hiranyakashipu. He was even praying for his own father's deliverance, if you can understand. Someone who's just trying to murder him, he's praying for his deliverance. This is the mood of a devotee, you see. Even if you torture me, even if you try to kill me, still I'm your well-wisher. This is a really, really good lesson. This prayer was after Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him, and he's praying for his own father's well-being. You see? Any questions written down? Please write some questions and pass them up. Any question? Yes.
You said about Bahir Narsingha, and do you get the same kind of benefit if you distribute prasad? And then if you cannot preach, then do you get the same kind of benefit if you distribute prasad?
Yes. I wish I had the exact quote here, but I was just hearing yesterday in the car, Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, I'll try to remember as much as I can of exactly what Prabhupada said. He said, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when you give somebody a Simply Wonderful on the street? Srila Prabhupada said, he will eat that wonderful sweet and he will come to your temple and he will become Simply Wonderful. He said, your Krishna is Simply Wonderful, this process is Simply Wonderful, and you were all Simply Wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. He said, every one of you can become. Now have kirtan. So yeah, Prabhupada certified, if you distribute prasadam, they will come to your temple and they will become Simply Wonderful. So yeah, that's the beginning. Distribute prasadam. But what if they ask you what it is? you should be prepared to answer them. This is not ordinary food. This food has been offered to the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. By eating this food, which is sacramental food, it will purify your consciousness and enable you to enter into a higher dimension beyond the material existence. So you got to be prepared to answer questions. Say, well, I don't know. I'm just told to pass it out. No. You have to be prepared, if they ask you, to answer them. Even just prasadam distribution, you have to be a preacher also. You see? So you should learn how to preach. That's one of your worthwhile goals for 2017. Preaching is ecstatic. What is the difference between devotional service before initiation and after initiation? I know that Guru Mata had... Just let me do it today. Okay. What is the difference between devotional service before initiation and after initiation? What is the difference between, just like, what's the difference between attending a course as a registered student or just auditing it? Do you have that in Canada, auditing a course? I know you just sit in because you like to learn something, but you're not a registered student. So what's the difference between auditing a course, hearing it as an auditor or as a registered student? You get credit for it if you're registered, but if you're not, if you're just hearing it and not registered, you don't get credit. So there's a big difference. Initiation means now you're a registered student. There's a benefit either way, but there's more benefit when you're initiated. But if you're, of course, if you're getting ready for initiation, that's another thing. Then you're practically... Prabhupada said he was practically initiated just after he first heard Bhakti Siddhanta speak. The first meeting. You know the story when Prabhupada first met Bhakti Siddhanta? You all know that story? Yeah. Uttadanga. Prabhupada said, practically, he initiated me. But he didn't have the ceremony for 11 years, you see. So even if you know, oh, this is my spiritual master, I want to become his disciple, practically you're already initiated. Just the ceremony is separating you, you see. And of course, he has to agree on his side. But so there's that category of somebody who wants to be initiated, is getting ready for it, and is just haven't had the ceremony yet. That's one category. Another category is somebody doesn't even say, well, I don't need initiation. Not interested in it. Sorry. See, there's somebody who's already formally initiated, somebody who's getting ready for initiation who's not initiated, and somebody who didn't care a fig about initiation. Yeah, that's just for fanatics. You see? There's the three different categories. So the one who is initiated, the ones who are getting ready for initiation, they're getting great benefit by devotional service. Because Krishna clearly says in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. What? Krishna says, the one who is devotee is not his devotee. What is in the world is he talking about? He says, yes, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So until you become the devotee of Krishna's devotee, you're not getting the same benefit from doing devotional service. That's the point. Not getting the same benefit. You're getting some benefit, but, you know, it's like this much benefit or this much benefit. How much benefit do you want from doing devotional service? Krishna says, you have to be the devotee of my devotee. That's when you become recognized by Krishna. I didn't accept this in the beginning, I'll tell you. I know some of you may not accept this. It took me like 2 years to accept this point. I was a holdout. Even devotees invite me to hear Prabhupada. I didn't want to go. I was a stubborn holdout. So some of you may also be holdouts. So I can understand where you're at, because I was there myself. But I finally learned and I realized to be the devotee, I had to become the devotee of the devotee. I realized the devotees were tasting some nectar that I wasn't tasting. Even living in the temple, I was not going to get initiated. But I realized one day that these devotees, they're tasting a nectar that I'm not tasting. And being envious by nature, I decided to also wanted to taste that nectar of really what it means to be a devotee by becoming the devotee of the devotee. How do I know if I'm advancing in spiritual life? If all your material desires are evaporating, then you know you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. You're no longer allured by wealth, women, and followers. You simply want Krishna, 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 Krishna for all of eternity. Any more questions? Pass them forward. Do demigods have to take birth again to get liberation? Not if they surrender in this present lifetime. But generally, the demigods actually want to take birth on this planet so they can become devotees. There's so much sense gratification in the heavenly planets. Do you know they can have as much sex as they want with no pregnancy, no abortions? It's free sex. Only they get pregnant right before they die. The women will get pregnant right before they die to keep the demigod population going. Prabhupada explained like this. There's great facility for sense pleasure in the heavenly planet. So it's very much bewildering. It's better to the earthly. This is the best planet for self-realization, earthly planet. How to stay fixed up in my goals? Have a spiritual master. That's the best way. Because once you have a spiritual master, you are duty-bound to be fully obedient to him. Prabhupada says one has to accept the order of his spiritual master as his life and soul. So if you want to get fixed in your goals, then you take spiritual master and take his orders, your life and soul. The Guru Maharaj, I'm fully surrendered to you. My life belongs in your hands. I now give myself fully to you. Then you're very solidly fixed. Very solidly fixed. I have no independence. I'm simply the servant of my spiritual master. Whatever he tells me to do, I will do. I give everything to him. Whatever he wants me to do with my life, I will do. How do I lead a brahmachari lifestyle if I'm married? It's very simple. You only have sex for procreation. Sex for recreation, taboo, Prabhu. Sex is not for recreation. It's only for procreation. One elderly, very pious Hindu gentleman taught me that little saying. It's not for recreation. It's only for procreation. When Mr. Sharma, he was chanting 16 rounds. He was a very pious person. He's deceased now, but he was an elderly gentleman, very elderly senior citizen. I met him. I had a preaching center in Norman, Oklahoma back in the early 80s. And he was a very pious man, and he had learned to chant from the devotees, chanting 16 rounds. And he was very fixed, you see. Sex is only for procreation, not for recreation. That really stuck with me. It's very poetic also. But that's what it means, you see. If you have sex only once in a month for making your wife pregnant, then you are a grihastha brahmachari. And that's beyond that, it's illicit. That's what it means to be a household of grihastha. Otherwise, you're grihamedi. You're not grihastha. Grihamedi. Gandhiji also was brahmachari, you know them. From in his 30s, he's a strict brahmachari. Even though he's a married man, he's strict celibate. And Prabhupada said because of that brahmachari, he developed so much power, he's able to drive the British out of India, you see. So if you can withhold your sex life and only use it for producing children, you become very powerful. Even materially, you become very powerful. In politics, in whatever your field you go into business, into politics, into entertainment, industry, whatever you choose, or to be a preacher, whatever occupation you choose, if you'll practice brahmacharya as a married man, only sex is only for procreation, you'll become very powerful. Whichever occupational path you choose, as a preacher, as a software engineer, whatever you choose, you'll become very powerful, a very powerful person in that industry or in that field, just by practicing brahmacharya. So therefore, do it. All of you must be brahmacharis. That's my order. You all must be brahmacharis. I don't know anybody having sex for recreation. No masturbation, that's totally out. No masturbation, no messing around with your wife, of course. And for you, there's no question of non-married sex, I assume. But in the modern world, everyone's having sex with everybody nowadays. It's just like you take it something very cheap, like blowing your nose, Having sex is like blowing your nose. It's become so degraded. How to practice celibacy lifestyle when there is sense gratification easily available? You have to really be fixed in your determination. The thing is, don't associate with girls. That's simple. Unless you're married, you associate with your wife. And don't associate. You don't mix with other women either. You see, Vedic culture means every woman is my mother. Every woman is Mataji. Except for my wife, she is Devi, goddess. If you won't mix with girls. Then you won't get agitated. Always remain aloof from girls. See them respectfully as your mother, and only engage. Papa wrote me a letter about this when I was a brahmachari. I asked him, "What are the proper practice? What is the proper mood for a brahmachari?" And he said, "A brahmachari is never alone with a woman. And any talk with women," he said, "almost nil." Exact quote from Prabhupada. Almost nil. That means practically nothing. You minimize as far as possible any conversation. Now there's a meeting. We're having, as a group, we're having some discussions. That's different. Then we can openly discuss as a family. But if you're one-on-one, no. Whatever, only what needs to be said. Otherwise, no talk. Because you start talking and, start chatting and shooting the breeze with that pretty young thing over there, before you know it, Cupid is going, you're going to get about 500 euros. And you go, "Wow, she's pretty good looking, Well, boy, her, she's really got nice breasts too, You know what I mean? Do yourself a favor, men. Follow these principles. You'll be much better off for it, I guarantee you. I know, I went through it before. I went through the opposite. I was in the hippie movement. It was completely unrestricted. I went through that myself. I was one of the hippies. In hippie culture, every girl was fair game. The hippie girls were like prostitutes for the hippie boys. It was just unbelievable free sex. But it was miserable. I went through the whole extreme opposite. I've been through that. But I came out of it realizing it was a hellish nightmare. And I learned how to become a brahmachari, you see. That's the nectar. This unrestricted sense pleasure is simply a nightmare. Do yourself a favor. Don't go and experience it. Just follow the acharyas and be a brahmachari. Either a brahmachari or a grihastha brahmachari. You must be brahmacharis.
What about
porno? Don't even look at porno for a second. Not even a nanosecond. Porno, Parno is like, if I gave you a gun and said, why don't you blow your brains out right now? That porno means you're putting a gun in your head and blowing your brains out. That's what porno means. You're killing yourself. You're putting a gun in your head and pulling the trigger. That's what porno does to you. I guarantee you. I know I have many men who are biting me, who are addicted to porno, addicted to masturbation. I have women who are wanting to be devotees, but their husband keep wanting to have sex with them. It's just, I know I'm dealing with it every day in the correspondence I get from people. It's a hellish world out there. Do yourself a favor. Porno has no place at all in your life. Has no place at all. When I was a youth, there was no internet. There was no porno. The only porno you could get was go down to the drugstore and ask for a copy of Playboy magazine, which is kept behind the counter, which I never did. But some of the guys in the dorm did, and they had the Playboy Playmate in their room, you know, with their breasts and everything. I never did that, but it was much harder in those days to get some pornography. Now with the internet, it's very easy. Even a little kid can do it. Is it? So it's the increase of the age of Kali. You must protect yourself from this stuff. You must. You absolutely must protect yourself from this stuff. Otherwise, it will degrade your consciousness. The demigods, prakriti, temporary or eternal. Prakriti means, well, there's paraprakriti and aparaprakriti. The material nature and the spiritual nature. The material nature is, in one sense, temporary because it goes through cycles of manifestation and non-manifestation. It's eternally being manifested and non-manifested. Sometimes it is manifest, sometimes it is non-manifest. And the spiritual nature is always manifested. How to strike a balance between material obligations and spiritual progress. I recommend the old 80-20 rule. 80%, your focus, now your time, let's face the fact, the reality. Time-wise, you're going to spend 80% of your time with material activities. And if you're lucky, 20% of your time with spiritual activities, isn't it? Going to school or working. If you're lucky. Maybe 5%, 95% time-wise. But when your consciousness, in your consciousness, you should see that your spiritual activities are 80% and your material activities are 20%. Something like that. It's just a rough, give you a rough idea. You have to always see that the spiritual aspect of my life is the essential aspect of my life is my spirituality, and the material things are just something there to help me facilitate my spiritual life. I need a place to live. I need to have food so I have some livelihood so I can have a place. Really, if you look at it like this, my material activities are there simply to facilitate my spiritual life at them. I could just be a beggar on the street, drop out of school, not go to work, just be a beggar on the street. But that's not practical. It's a very agitating, disturbing situation to be in, especially in the winter here in Toronto. In Texas, we have people live out all year round. They sleep under the bridges at night, and they come out and stand at the intersections during the day and get maybe $2 or $3. Sitting out there for 9-10 hours a day, you get $2 or $3 to buy some cigarettes and some potato chips or something. Horrible. They don't have to go to work, but they spend more time begging than they would at working some job. So you have some livelihood is required so you can live peacefully and practice Krishna consciousness. That's what your livelihood is for. It's not for its own sake. It's to facilitate your practice of Krishna consciousness. If you see it in that way, you'll be okay. So looks like all these questions are answered. I see some more being written now. Very good. What made you believe in Krishna? Why Krishna? Boy, you opened up a whole subject matter there. I can Do we have a couple of hours now? Well, I was a young spiritual seeker. Let me just try to summarize how I came to Krishna, the point of Krishna. You know, as a youth in high school, my dad said, "Son, your college days are going to be the happiest days of your whole life." So I believed him. When he dropped me off in the dorm, I was the most miserable person in all the three worlds. And I was going, "Oh my God, these are the happiest days of my life. Oh my God." I was so depressed, I couldn't believe it. I went to the campus psychologist. He said, "I'm really depressed." And it was horrible. It was a nightmare. They dropped my college life, you know. But after 2 years, I transferred out to another place because I had to pick a mate. Anyway, it's a long story there, but I was depressed. They would say, one of the students would say, "How you doing?" I would say, "Depressed." They said, "Don't say that. Like, you're not allowed to tell the truth, you know." But one student in the break room named, what was his name? I have his name in my autobiography. I found out who he was, and I located him, actually, this person. Huh? No, that was later. I found him on the internet, and we reconnected. But he told me about something called self-realization. It was actually Yogananda, you know. And so I got Yogananda's book, the autobiography of a yogi. And I went, "Wow, there's something called self-realization? Yeah, that's what I got to do." So I enrolled in the home study program. There's no internet. You have to mail off and get a weekly lesson, you know, in the mail. And he said, "Okay, now here's what you do. You light a candle. You turn off all the lights. You light a candle. You sit and stare at the candle." So I was doing that, you know, staring at the candle. And didn't help. I was still pretty depressed. Just staring at a candle. I didn't really feel anything, you know. After a few more lessons, I just burned all the lessons. I felt a little good that day. It didn't work, but I had this idea you could become self-realized. And then I read a book called The Book, and it said, actually, you're God. And right now, you're just playing hide-and-go-seek with yourself. So I tried to be God for a while. For a couple of days, it felt really good. Wow, I'm God. Wow. But it didn't work. I couldn't pull that one off either, you know. So, but anyway, some friends of mine invited me to come to Denver. And my friend Patrick. I'd met him before, and it was amazing. I met this guy in Austin. Patrick Dolan was his name. And he was a hippie guy. We were all hippies in those days. He looked like a sage to me. He looked like he was a very wise man. And I met him, and then he disappeared. And then moved all the way from Texas to Denver, and it turned out he was living a 5 minutes, a block and a half from my house. It was an amazing coincidence, that same person. And I became good friends with him. So anyway, those days we all took LSD, trying to get high and got a higher consciousness. And so one night, Patrick and his friends, I went to Patrick's place to see him, and he said, "Well, he's over at Joe's." I went over to Joe's, and they'd all just dropped LSD, going on an LSD trip, and they said, "Why don't you join us?" Steve was my name then. "Why don't you join us, Steve?" I said, no. I wasn't interested. Just like, what a waste of time, you know. And so a few minutes later, I went home and turned off my light and went to sleep, you know, peacefully sleeping about a block and a half away from Joe's apartment. And then a knock came on the door. It's like quiet but impassioned knock. A subdued but impassioned knock came on the door. And it was Patrick and all the LSD trippers. And they said, "Joe flipped out. He took off all his clothes. He was breaking all his records on the wall. He ran outside. He was smashing his fist at the car windshields. He went door to door and naked saying, 'There's LSD in the water. Can you give me a drink of water?' And they said, 'Don't turn on the light.' And they shut the door and said, 'Don't turn on the light.' They were just completely flipping out. They were all high on LSD and their minds were like flying. And they were just completely bewildered because Joe had flipped out on LSD. And And Patrick said, started going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he said, chant this, it will help him, it will protect him. So everybody was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And I wonder, what is this? Actually, had met the devotees in San Francisco and had learned the mantra from them the summer before in 67. And I was pretty amazed by them. This person I thought was a great, to me, he's like appeared like a sage. He was recommending chanting Hare Krishna. And so I found a picture of Krishna in a gift shop, a beautiful, anyone's on my e-course, it's the picture on my e-course. I found that poster of Radha and Krishna, and I made an altar because I got a Gita from the library, and it said, Krishna says, if you offer your food with love and devotion, I will accept it. And I was somehow or another, I knew I should be a vegetarian. I didn't hear about the meat thing, but I was naturally, I hadn't met the devotees yet, but I just learned it from Patrick. And so I set up an altar, and I was offering my food to Radha and Krishna, and I was chanting Hare Krishna. And I felt like I was going on a, I would come home, I had dropped out of school, and I was working in the men's department, the men's handkerchief department at a downtown Denver department store. I would walk home in the cool Denver evening, not quite as cool as Toronto, but pretty close. They call it the Mile High City. It's way up in the Rocky Mountains. It's on the foot of the Rockies, but it's still very high elevation. So I would come home in the evening and in the fall evening, and I'd sit down and light a candle and light some incense and offer some food to Radha and Krishna, and I would chant Hare Krishna, and it felt like I was going on a magic carpet ride to higher dimensions of consciousness, and I was, actually. So that's how I began my connection with Krishna. I hadn't met the devotees yet, but I was experiencing something very powerful in the Hare Krishna mantra. So then, what would my career path be? Well, I already drive. I said, well, there's nothing left to do. I'll just go to India, being a holy beggar in India. That was my career path, I decided. Go to India and be a holy beggar. But then, my autobiography is going to tell all the details. But then before I went to India, I got a realization. Instead of denying everything of this world, you see, denying, I realized the perfection of denial is to deny denial also. I had to renounce renunciation also and go to a higher level. And then at that point I realized I had a divine mission was awaiting me, that I had a duty to do in this world. Instead of leaving the world, I was meant to stay in the world and execute a duty. And I got this very strong intuition I was meant to go to San Francisco instead of India. So instead of hitchhiking, I had a whole plan to meet some hippie friends that were going to get a job on a freighter and go to India from New York. But instead of going to New York, instead of sticking out, they do this in Canada also, sticking out your thumb. Yeah, instead of hitchhiking in New York, I was a hitchhiker, put my thumb the other way and went to San Francisco. Instead of going this way, I went that way to San Francisco. And that's where I met the devotees and eventually led to my becoming a full-on devotee. But yeah, my coming to Krishna was a very wonderful thing. It came gradually, it didn't come all of a sudden. There was a lot of confusion because I was told these rascal Mayavadis told me that everyone is Krishna. So it took me a while. And now we're way over time now, I don't know. Can I do one more? One more question and that's it? All right. I mean, I could go on all evening. Y'all are such a great audience. Oh, 10 minutes, wow. Give me a couple more questions then. How to treat a guest who is a non-devotee and non-Krishna conscious preferences? He wants food with onions and garlic and maybe that we have such guests here tonight. Actually, just because somebody likes onions and garlic doesn't mean they have to have it at every meal. I mean, you know. Actually, they're. If I, yeah, when I go to the grocery store, my wife and I go to the grocery store in Austin like once a week. And when I go to the produce section, I stay away from the onions. They stink. I don't even want to get near that counter. I mean, it's just like horrible odor coming out of it. How you could stick that in your mouth? I mean, what kind of madness is it, you know? It stinks. It's foul odor. When you buy garlic pills at the health food store, they're deodorized garlic pills. Why are they deodorized? Because garlic stinks. How you could eat that stuff? What kind of consciousness is it? I mean, it's crazy, eating onions and garlic. Ugh. We have a saying in America, he has onions on his breath. It's like, stay away from him, you know. Now, in India, maybe it's considered fashionable to have onions on your breath. But in America, it's like, ooh. You know, give him a sweet to suck on or something to cover up the onions on his breath, you know. It's a horrible thing. We treat everyone as special because actually everyone is special. Every living entity is a very dear, intimate associate of Krishna. Even the most rascal demons of this world, they're actually in it. They're associates of the Lord from in the spiritual sky. Every single living being is the most dear son or daughter of God, child of God. Every single living entity is the most dear child of God in this whole material world. Just they've forgotten it. So we have to treat them like that, you see. Okay? In today's world and age, how important is circumstances and environment to practice spiritual life, which you call balance? You need... Actually, it's very important to have a devotee association. Because we are social animals. Whoever you associate with, you tend to want to be like them. That's our psychological natures. If you associate with prostitute hunters, you'll be inclined to be a prostitute hunter. You see? Whoever you associate with, so you need to choose your association wisely with persons who are interested in awakening their dormant Krishna consciousness. That should be your intimate association. Now, at work, you have to take whatever you get. But even there, you should be trying to make an impact. My godbrother, he was working at Burroughs Corporation in Detroit, some kind of a computer technician job, you know. Computer programmer, software, I don't know what it was. You know, one of these tie jobs, you know, shirt and tie type jobs. So he would put a Bhagavad Gita there on his desk every day. Just lay it out there. So one of the co-workers, Randy Meyer, he saw this. What is that book? He said, why don't you take it and read it? See, Randy Meyer became initiated disciple of Prabhupada just because my godbrother put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk. So if you have to go to that atmosphere, your livelihood, well, you have to do what you have to do, but try to have an impact. Just like I was working at MCI Corporation as a salesperson, as a married devotee. And to get hired, I grew my hair out a little bit, you know, and covered up my neck beads with a tie and a shirt, you know. And I looked like an ordinary person, you know, pants, you know, ordinary American guy, you know, applying for a job. I got hired. Once I got there, I was feeling a little, well, I put on tilak every day, but before I'd go to work, I have to wash it off. I got kind of tired of washing off my tilak. One day I just said, I'm going to do it and wear my tilak to work today. I'm not saying you should do this now, but I'm just making a philosophical point. Because I see you're not even wearing it here. But anyway, I wear tilak to work one day, and I was so fired up. I was doing telesales, you know. I was closing one sale after another sale after another sale. And my boss gets a commission on my sales. Whoa, was he was smiling. Wow, he was smiling. My name was, he said, Mr. Bridge. My karmi name is Bridge, like Bridge Basi, you know. He said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on you must wear it every day. So my boss ordered me to wear a tilak to work every day, you see. So I did that on his order, you see. So in that way, you know, don't be a victim of your environment. You make an impact on your environment. That's my point. If it's not wearing tilak, maybe you, or you can bring a bunch of cookies once a week for the break room. The nicest carob chip walnut cookies. Put them in the break room. Everything. Say, when are you going to bring those cookies again? Be the talk of the whole office, you know. And that's what I did also. I bring cookies to the break room. And they'd be talking about it all week. And it's a big event. That day I bring the cookies to the break room. It's Peshadam cookies. He says, so just find a way that you can impact that environment. Instead of being a victim of it, you impact it somehow or other with prashadam or laying a book there on the counter or if you're really bold, but you know. Of course, on Halloween, costume day, I wore a dhoti, of course. You know, full-on dhoti on Halloween, you know. Why not? Go for it. So have an impact on your environment. Don't be a victim of it. You have an impact on the environment. And that's actually, we have to be in that mood. We are spiritual revolutionaries. You have to be in that mood. Take over the world as soon as possible for Krishna. That's our mood. We're in the mood of Hanuman and Arjuna. We're fighting Vaishnavas. We want to take over the world. You see? The whole world becomes Krishna conscious because that was the only thing that can solve the people's problems of the world. So our time is definitely over. Actually, we've gone beyond the 10 minutes, and I don't want to have to be told I should stop. So I'm going to go ahead and stop here. But please, you all sign up for my e-course, and anybody who wants my card, I have some here. Make it easier to remember my I'll give you my email address so anybody want to write me. And my book is here. Only a few copies left, actually. We're almost sold out in Canada right now. So yes.
Can I have this Gandalf signed?
Yes.
Get it signed.
Yes. Anybody who gets a book, I'll sign it. And my cards are here. Anybody wants to be able to acquire from me individually. And if anybody would like to make a contribution to help to reciprocate with the love that I've given you, is there a bowl or something here? It's a very nice, always there, a plate. Giving some donation is a very nice way of loving reciprocation with the speaker. If you'd like to give a contribution to help, and we have anything to hand out, anybody who gives a contribution, a gift, we also have a gift for you as well. Oh, we have Peshadam here. Okay. All right. Anybody like to, we encourage you to give some contribution also if you'd like. So everyone come and get some Peshadam.